Welcome to another episode of PMCA's Research Chat. Today we're talking with Terri-Ann Hamada. Terri-Ann grew up in Hawaii. Upon graduation, she attended Whittier College in Southern California and got her chemistry degree. From there, she went to Penn State University, where she did her graduate work in food science. Welcome, Terri-Ann.
Thank you.
So can you tell us what your research was?
So the research portion of the project was completed over the summer of 2021, and I officially defended my dissertation in October of 2021. The title of the project was The Effect of Alkalization on the Chemistry of Cocoa. And basically what we wanted to do was kind of this broad study of how alkalization affected different components in cocoa, from really well-studied areas such as aroma compounds and polyphenolic compounds to some of these lesser studied areas like starch and dietary fiber, large polysaccharides like pectin and cellulose.
We've had years because you kind of got stuck in the middle of COVID and we were dealing with all this during that too, I think.
Yes. So COVID actually severely disrupted the work and changed the direction of the project because we had initially planned to do sensory work, but in the middle of COVID, human subjects research was almost impossible to do. We didn't really want to have to go through all of the protocols to get people in and out. So we actually switched into a more lab-based project. So we delved deeper into some of this chemistry and looking at more specific components. So things like starch and dietary fiber weren't actually part of the project initially and were brought in after COVID so that we could kind of make up for the work that we weren't going to get out of sensory.
So you kind of had to change when it hit and then go back and kind of reroute your whole route of research.
Yes. So we had to think of, okay, we're not going to have all of this big sensory data. So what else can we look at that's related or maybe a slight deviation that'll make up for this large chunk?
And what did you discover? I mean, we can get into the objectives and the outcomes if you want.
So there were like five major objectives. So we broke it down into looking at the effect of alkalization on pH and color. So that's the first objective. And then the second was looking at volatile aroma compounds and polyphenolic profiles. Third was looking at cell wall polysaccharides, such as pectin and cellulose. Then we looked at dietary fiber. We also looked at starch morphology and the digestibility of starch.
So let's talk about alkalization. One of my big things is, and this is probably totally off the subject, but you were alkalizing just the cocoa, or were you doing the nibs? How did you process that?
I alkalized nibs. So I took about 100 grams of nibs, and then I added my alkalizing solution. So it was either a 0 to 6% alkali. I used sodium hydroxide or potassium carbonate as my agent.
Okay. Yeah, because potassium carbonate's the main one we use, I think. And you said you worked on color and pH. I find that's really interesting because I know some chocolate companies will use potassium agent in the conch itself. And I've always wondered, you know, if that actually could be considered alkalizing, or if you should alkalize before and then add the alkalized liquor to the chocolate itself. I don't know if you have any opinion there.
Based off of my literature readings, most were adding a solution at some point, either before or after roasting. I don't think it quite got to direct addition into the conching, though.
I've always wondered if you could actually affect quote-unquote alkalization through the addition of the solution and the time and temperature parameters, or, you know, I don't think there's ever been any work done on that. I think that's probably a hint to some academic institution out there that would be interesting research to consider for future. But anyways, as you moved along, you got into aromas and flavors as far as sensory goes?
We analyzed using like GCMS and LCMS. So not quite sensory, but related.
How would this be applicable to let's call them PMCA members, where the rubber meets the road?
I think that more research actually has to be done to like further understand some of these micro interactions between the molecules or the macromolecules. Because what we found was that there was a lot of moving parts. So it didn't really boil down to, okay, this went up, this went down, and it's a really clear picture. It ended up being like we saw an increase in cell wall isolates, but they're not completely accounted for by the polysaccharides that we analyzed. So there's indication that other compounds are complexing with components such as pectin or cellulose.
It's almost like you have to separate out a bunch of different things and work them together, because as a whole, there's so many moving parts, so many different compounds, that it's hard to manage any individual ones without more in-depth research.
Yes, exactly.
Other than the obvious pandemic, were there any other roadblocks you encountered in the course of your research?
Not really. That was the main limiting factor. Just took out all of our sensory work and changed to a more chemistry or analysis-based project.
So jumping in there, would you say there's a huge opportunity for someone to take what you did and then go in a sensory direction?
Yes. I think there's that whole project of actually taking these samples, and at this point it would be reproducing them on a bulk scale and then serving it to people for sensory studies. Our main objective sensory-wise was to look at astringency, because alkalization is known to decrease astringency.
Right.
So that would be one focus that you could go in, or even just bitterness, sourness. Of course, you have to kind of take all of that into consideration as well.
Right, right. So did any of the results surprise you? I mean, that's always a weird question to ask, because generally speaking, anybody who's doing any research has pretty much plotted out where they want to go, and you can speculate. I mean, with rare occasions, there aren't a whole lot of shocks, but I like to ask the question anyways.
It was surprising to see how much was going on. We actually started with this idea that pectin was possibly solubilized by the alkalization process, but then we also looked at things like cellulose and then dietary fibers and starch, and we saw changes pretty much in everything. So that was a little not unexpected, I guess, if you like really delve into the literature, but unexpected because it wasn't the main focus.
It just seemed to complicate things.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the more we dig into chocolate, the more complicated it gets, almost like it's a living item that we're trying to quantify, and it keeps changing. There's so much going on in there that it's constantly defying what's going on, where it's going on, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's even harder to study because it's a fat-based product. It's not something that's water-friendly, so you can't really easily separate all of its components.
Obviously, your research did change direction, but it wasn't necessarily based on results. It was basically the situation we found ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make any suggestions as for next steps in your work? I mean, more other than being, you know, vague, can you make some suggestions where somebody might take this to the next level?
Personally, I would love to delve into the chemistry of it. So looking at the individual components and their interactions with each other. So if we were able to actually isolate cocoa pectin and cocoa polyphenols and look at their interactions with each other to see if they're really binding favorably, or if maybe the interactions between phenolics and themselves or the cocoa cellulose are more favorable. And then I think expanding the project, looking at the differences of alkalization before roasting or after roasting. So in my project, I alkalized and then I roasted my nibs. So it'd be interesting to see if there's a difference, especially in aroma compounds, if alkalization occurs after roasting, because there are probably some precursors or compounds formed through Maillard reactions that can affect the aroma.
So you're saying if we were to alkalize the nibs prior to roasting, we'd get different, potentially different flavor or aroma characteristics?
I think so. We kind of saw that there might be formation of precursors during alkalization, and then we have then a higher content of some of these aroma compounds after the roasting. And other studies have shown that there's actually degradation of some of these compounds that are formed during roasting if you alkalize after.
That's interesting. One has to wonder if you started from the beginning and you took totally unfermented beans and went through the process, and then you went through the standard process and tweaked parameters in between, what you come up with.
Yeah, there are so many things in cocoa processing that you can change or modify that completely
change the chemical development of the fundamental compounds.
Yes.
So where do you find yourself now?
I find myself in that awkward space between finishing school and finding a job.
So what are you looking for? What do you want to be? I assume you're in Hawaii, and at this point you're happy where you are physically.
Yes.
But what would you like to do in a perfect world? What would you find yourself doing for the rest of your life? Please don't say surfing.
No, I actually don't know how to surf. But in the perfect world, I would ideally want to find a job in the food industry. I know it's somewhat limited here in Hawaii, but I am exploring options both remotely and locally. And if I could, after my time in the industry, I would love to delve back into academia.
It sounds like you'd be the perfect bridge between, like, say, a larger chocolate company in where you are and like an academic situation, because it would give the perfect situation to actually work in the industry as well as play with parameters that you could apply to an academic situation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to see any of the cocoa plantations out there?
I have. I was actually able to see the Lonohana farm just before COVID, thanks to Alan McClure, who's really good friends with Seneca Clausen, who's the owner of Lonohana. And it was kind of eye-opening. It was my first time seeing a bean-to-bar production on the small scale. So we went through the farm, and I was able to see the pods on the trees. We kind of skipped over everything from when they come off the tree to when they get into their little factory for processing. So I don't really know about drying and fermentation, but it was a pretty small scale. It's nice and cute, kind of like a pilot plant, but
those
it was
really cool. Those are really cool situations. So where would somebody find your research if they were to look for it right now?
They should be able to find it through the Penn State Dissertation Thesis Library or through PMCA.
That's right. Members should have access to this as well as the full library. So I got to ask you, what's it like growing up in Hawaii?
It's great. I love it. I like living on an island. I don't get island fever or feel like I need to go on some big road trip. But it is tough. You don't have access to the same resources as everywhere else in the continental United States, which is why I went away to school. And I think coming from Hawaii and then venturing to California for my undergrad and then Nebraska for a summer and then Penn State for my graduate degree, I spanned the whole of the United States and got to see a lot, and it changes everywhere you go. The resources at a small liberal arts school in California are so different from the resources that you get at a school like Penn State. But coming home is always a treat.
I'm going to thank you for joining us today on Research Chat. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I'm sure people can get a hold of you where they want to get a hold of you. They'll find you.
I would love to thank, well, everyone at PMCA for supporting this research, as well as the faculty and staff, especially my advisor, Greg Siegler, at Penn State, everyone who got me through my degree, especially in the middle of COVID. And also my classmates like Allison Brown, who were a great support and a great resource throughout all of my time there.
She is. She's a great resource on the research committee as well.
I've heard.
And I heard you mention Alan McClure as well. He was another one of our grantees.
Yes.
So, yeah, thanks again so much for joining us. And it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been another episode of PMCA Research Chat. Please subscribe and like us on your podcast service. Check us out at PMCA.com, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.